something that I meant to do in the morning session, I forgot, so we'll do it now. I want to read from the second verse, 112, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's translation, and then just a little bit from the beginning part of his commentary. So the Dharma Projita Kaitavotra verse. The Supreme Lord becomes immediately captured in the hearts of the accomplished devotees by hearing Bhagavatam, and even by those who have suddenly developed a desire to hear it. This does not happen with other works. In the Bhagavatam alone, created by the Lord Himself, is presented the real, permanent object, which can be understood by those without selfish intentions, and which bestows auspiciousness and release one from the material world of miseries. In the Bhagavatam alone is presented the process for attaining that highest object devoid of all material goals and liberation. It's a very literal translation. Just a comment. Is Prabhupada's translation is very sweet. And it's something like the the translation of the Dhammadharastakam prayers that we recite, sing, and then recite the translation of. There's a translation that was done subsequent to Prabhupada's translation, and it's more clinically correct. It's not sweet. It's like eating sweet rice with sand in it. But Prabhupada's translation of Dhammadharastakam is very sweet. So his translation is similarly very, very sweet. And another, so clinically, the Vishwanath Chakravarti translation doesn't have sand in it. It's just, it's two things. It's a very precise translation of the words, and he's weighing in on a couple of points that are points of emphasis that are not the same emphasis that Prabhupada gives. Like, for example, in this last part, devoid of the all material goals and liberation. So Prabhupada includes liberation as a material goal. So it's just a distinction. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks about something that's in line with Rupa Goswami, which is even in the beginning stage. So it's a little encouragement for those of us that are not very advanced. It sounds really high, like, you know, Nirmat Saranam Satam, and yikes, we're far from that. So whether the Lord manifests in the heart of those who have done so assiduously over years and years and years and years and years, or at once in the very beginning stage, even by those who have suddenly developed a desire to hear it, this does not happen by other works. So it's just a point of emphasis. Here's his commentary, just parts of it. Few little sections. He begins, since Bhagavatam is the essence of all scripture, and among all scriptures shows what is beneficial and unbeneficial for the jiva, and since it has discerned with conviction the root of all benefit, it laments the diversity it laments the great diversity of recommendations of what is beneficial and unbeneficial for the jiva, meaning in other literatures, arising from people's different qualifications and from different philosophical opinions. Bhagavatam gives bliss to all the listeners and thus allows everyone to achieve the highest object completely. That is made clear in this verse. That's this introductory paragraph. Next, as part of the next paragraph, through the hearing process, the Bhagavatam, Atra, which is most auspicious, Srimat, the Lord, Ishwaraha, the shelter of all else, Sri Krishna, is immediately brought under control and captured. Avarujyate. In the heart, by the accomplished persons, Krittavi, the persons devoid of selfishness, Nirmatsaranam, who are mentioned in the verse as being qualified for this scripture. Then he quotes two verses, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11. O Uddhava, only by associating with my pure devotees can one destroy material attachment and attain me. So he's saying that because the devotees that have the qualification, they capture Krishna in their heart. Then he says, Krishna enters the hearts of even those who have suddenly developed the desire to hear from the very moment they begin listening. Is Krishna in your heart? Okay. Since they develop the desire to hear from that moment, even before having faith, it means they develop prema simply by hearing Bhagavatam. Then how much more quickly they would develop prema if they begin hearing with faith. It's something like the sixth canto of Bhagavatam describing Abhas Bhakti and Abhas Nam or Namabhas. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam similarly. Even a reflection is so powerful. And because it's so powerful, it moves the heart. And when it moves the heart, attraction comes. And when attraction comes, Krishna's there. Because he's attracted by the love of his devotee. Because he's Bhakta Vatsala. What's the meaning?
He's kind to a devotee.
Yeah. One thing you're going to remember from this whole seminar is Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. He's very kind to his devotee. So become his devotee. Okay. So I'm also going to read, here's the verse of the third, or the translation of the third verse. I'm going to read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's translation. O knower of rasa, O fortunate souls, constantly drink from the mouth of Shukadev, the Bhagavatam, the fruit of the tree of the Vedas, which has dropped from the tree to this earth, which is immortal, liquid, which is the essence of sweetness, and which includes all types of liberation. He's a Rasika Bhakta. So, let's chant the verse together. Nigama kalpataror galitam palam shukha mukhad amrita dravya samyutam pivata bhagavatam rasam alayam mohor ahor rasika bhuvi bhavuka. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadev Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful. Although its nectarine juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. I'll just share, hearing Srila Prabhupada speak on this verse, something that I remember very clearly his describing, just like Bhaktavatsala. Krishna, Prabhupada describes that there's the Vedas, and there's the essence of the Vedas. And the essence of the Vedas is already Amrita. It's very sweet. But then when that fruit, the ripened fruit, is touched by the lips of Shukadev Goswami, it's made even more relishable. And then he said a couple of other things, that even Vyasadeva, who taught the Srimad Bhagavatam through Shukadeva, sat to hear from Shukadeva because of the qualification of Shukadeva. And the qualification of Shukadeva was, then he explained, just like a parrot will take its beak and not just begin eating the fruit, but with his beak he softens the fruit and then sticks his beak in the fruit and draws the juice from the fruit. So I heard that a number of times, and it's just a little anecdotal, but I was once visiting in Peru, and the devotees had purchased a farm, and they wanted me to go see the farm, so we went to go see the farm. And when we got there, it wasn't well developed, but it was like jungle, but there were jungle fruits and vegetation and things like that. It wasn't, you know, like cornfields and wheat fields. It was another kind of farm. And because it was jungle, there were wild animals and snakes and things like that. So the house was up in a tree or on stilts, so we, you know, be safe from those kind of creatures. And then they took me up, you know, kind of like one of those circular stairway things to go up. And then I went to the treehouse kind of thing. And then they went to get prasadam. So I'm looking out the window chanting. And, you know, right, like eye to eye, right out the window, was a papaya tree. And there's the papaya fruits. And there was one of those toucans, you know, like big long beaks, it's a toucan. And he was doing like that. He was softening the fruit. So I watched his method, softening the fruit and then stuck his beak in the fruit and drew out the juice. So there's already juice there. But sometimes people eat fruit that way, like mango. Make it really soft, real soft, and then just a little hole and you drink the juice. You've done that before? Of course. Like that, Shukadeva Goswami took the ripened fruit and used his mukhad, his mouth, his beak, his transcendental speaking capacity. And because of his position, Prabhupada didn't say this, but it's somewhere described that Shukadeva Goswami is Radharani's parrot, and he is enjoying Srimad Bhagavatam in that way. So that which is already Amrita becomes Amrita Dravya Samyutam, even more relishable. So it's an appeal to his readers, please drink this nectar. And it's also a benediction. May you drink the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll start with the first phrase, Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Palam. Commonly when Prabhupada would say this, he put it in idam at the end. I don't know why. Nigama kalpataror galitam palam idam. Idam, like thus. So nigama, standing alone, it means the Vedas. Generally means scripture, but commonly the Vedas. But this is nigama kalpataror. It's a desire tree. So the Vedas are a desire tree, and the Vedic literature provides everything. Everything? Everything. Everything material, everything spiritual, everything that you need to maintain body and soul together properly, and the fullness of the spiritual juice that we're always hankering for. I'd like to read, before I just read what's here, some appreciation of how Prabhupada gave to the Western audience the place of the culture of no culture, an understanding of the message of the Bhagavatam, the sweetness of the Bhagavatam. So here's how he writes. This is his first paragraph in his purport. In the two previous slokas, it has been definitely proved that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the sublime literature which surpasses all other Vedic scriptures due to its transcendental qualities we've been discussing. Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, Upasanakanda, and the Srimad Bhagavatam that's fully transcendental. It is transcendental to all mundane activities and mundane knowledge. That's already established. Now here, in this sloka, it is stated that Srimad Bhagavatam is not only a superior literature, but is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literatures. In other words, it is the cream of all Vedic literature, because elsewhere it's said like that. Here, kalpatur galitam palam, ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. Then elsewhere it said is the cream of Vedic knowledge. Considering all this, patient and submissive hearing is definitely essential. With great respect and attention, one should receive the message and lessons imparted by the Srimad Bhagavatam. Short, but full, packed. Why should we listen so carefully to the Srimad Bhagavatam? The reasons are given. And then you just stop being lazy and start being spiritually enthusiastic and receive it. Now he goes back to the other literatures, the other portions of the Vedas. The Vedas are compared to the desire tree because they contain all things knowable by man. They deal with mundane necessities as well as spiritual realization. The Vedas contain regulated principles of knowledge covering social, political, religious, economic, military, medicinal, chemical, physical, and metaphysical subject matter, and all that may be necessary to keep the body and soul together. Above and beyond all this are specific directions for spiritual realization. And that's what he's pointing to. That's the Bhagavatam. That's the ripened fruit. Regulated knowledge involves a gradual raising of the living entity to the spiritual platform. The other portions of the Vedas, that's their intention. That is to say, when some people hear, if there's only one thing to do, and that's just surrender to Krishna, some people are going to say, forget it, I'm not going to surrender to Krishna. I didn't know this, but until I heard Prabhupada say it about 10 times, Dr. Radhakrishna. You know who Dr. Radhakrishna is? Was he the president? Vice president of India. So, Dr. Radhakrishna, vice president of India, wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, when he comments on Sarvadharmam Parityaja Mamekam Charanam Braja, he says, Krishna is asking too much. Surrender? That was his commentary. It's like Dr. Radhakrishna Uvacha, not Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. And what's his credential? He's got a doctor in front of his name and a vice president of India at the end of his name. And in between, it's air. Krishna says, it's too much. And therefore, guess what comes out of the box? It's impersonal. That's the alternative. Yikes. That's Kaitava Dharma. And it's just not even Kaitava Dharma, it's just madness. It's cheating, for sure. Sorry about that. Regulated knowledge involves a gradual raising of the living entity to the spiritual platform. And the highest spiritual realization is knowledge that the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all spiritual tastes or rasas. And that's coming up. We'll discuss that later. Tomorrow morning we'll discuss. So, Nigama Kalpatura Galitam Phalam. Galitam, it says, Galitam means ripened, fully ripened. So, it's really nice to go to places where they have fruits that are in season. Like, you know, I won't get too afield, but when I grew up in upstate New York, it was really happy time when corn was ripe, or we used to go and pick blueberries when they were ripe. It was really fun. And when they're ripe, when fruits are ripe, they taste so much different. Or vegetables that are, you know, just right out of the garden, they taste different. They taste like they're supposed to taste. And most of what we get is something that's off-season, and they grow it somewhere, and before it's ripe, they pick it, and you know the whole program. I don't know what they spray it with something so that it will kind of artificially turn the right color and look like the right thing. There was one video being made of what so-called agriculture is today. They call it a notional tomato because it's red. But, you know, it's not the same. So here is not just the Vedas, but the ripened fruit of the Vedas. The ripened fruit of the desire tree of the Vedas. The words Galitam Palam means mature fruit. The Bhagavatam offers only the ripe fruit of the tree of Vedic literature. One may obtain a sweet tree-ripened mango only after lengthy and arduous endeavor. It requires that one first plant, nourish, and water the tree, protecting it from weeds, and then wait years until the tree is mature enough to produce ripe fruit. Many fruit trees reach maturity after dozens of years, but when the first sweet, juicy mangoes finally ripen, he who planted the tree can finally harvest the fruit and experience pleasure. His hard work has finally achieved fruition. The Srimad Bhagavatam presents only that. The tasty, ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature is the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is directly available in this age. It's for this age. You know, bad Kali Yuga. Manda. So manda. Matayo. Manda bhagya. Manda means bad. Bad. Very bad. Triple bad. And here's this Srimad Bhagavatam. The president of our Hartford temple is Pyari Mohan. And he's really good at growing things. He has a fantastic garden just right behind the temple and produces all kinds of nice things. He's really good with Tulsi Devi. I mean, really good. And so when I visit there, one time I saw this little thing growing out of a plant on the windowsill. And I asked, what's that? He said, it's a mango tree. I said, Pyari, I know you're good at growing things, but a mango tree in Hartford? He said, I was just curious. You know, I took a mango, just from the seed of the mango, will a mango tree grow? So he planted a mango seed and, you know, found out what temperature and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And there's this little mango tree growing on his windowsill from that seed. I don't know what he's going to do after it starts getting bigger. Send it to Portland or Seattle or something, where there's so much rain. Maybe it'll just keep growing. Huh? Need a little sun, okay. Not Arizona, no. Sun, but no water. So, another little anecdotal thing. I remember very clearly when I was small, my father was also good at growing things, and he bought a peach tree and put the peach tree in the backyard. You know, a little sapling peach tree. And remember, little, like your size boy looking up at the peach tree saying, Dad, where's the peaches? He said, it'll take a few years. And I said, oh, it's a few years. And then after a few years, some little green, you know, they never matured. Little green peaches came. You know, Dad, how come they're not peach color? They're green. He said, it'll take a few years. And then we moved. I never got to have the peaches from the peach tree. But I bet that peach tree is supplying nice peaches now, unless somebody ripped it up and did something with the tree. Similarly, to get the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge, it may take some time. Along with being utsahan, we're supposed to be nishchayat, supposed to be patient. Oh, got to be patient. But this Srimad Bhagavatam, recognizing the condition of those in the age of Kali that are manda, sumanda, matayo, manda bhagya, manda bhagya is fortunate, and manda bhagya is so unfortunate. That's us. Bhagavatam is describing us. The Srila Vyasadeva is supplying us the ripened fruit, not the one that's gassed. It's picked unripe. It's ripened fruit, and here it is. So such great mercy. And here's a little description of the word nigama, taken from the sixth canto. Prajapati Daksha's son, the Savalashvas, are being spoken to by Narada, and he's making reference to their older brothers, the Haryashvas, who joined his bhakti program. So in the verse being referred to here, it speaks of nigama. So he's saying the conclusion of the scriptures, they've just finished this amazing, like, preliminary austerity, and they're ready for, now they're in this dried wood stage from the wet wood stage. They're ready for igniting, and he speaks about the conclusions of the scriptures. It's very clear. One should engage in devotional service. Paradharma. He brings it to them right away. So Prabhupada's purport says, generally the word nigama refers to the Vedas. But here, nigama refers to the instructions contained in the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam says, nigama kalpataror galitam palam. The Vedic instructions are like a tree, of which Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit. Narada Muni is engaged in distributing this fruit. And therefore he instructed Vyasadeva to write this Mahapurana, Srimad Bhagavatam, for the benefit of ignorant society. By the way, that's us. Ignorant society. It's a gift of compassion. And it's so portable. You can hold it in your hand. But better than holding it in your hand is you open it. And then you vibrate it. And then you let it go in your ear and into your heart. And then Krishna becomes manifest in your heart. And then you can experience, you can see things, you can experience things. Life changes just from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, taking this ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. Moreover, Shukha Mukhad Amrita Dravya Samyutam. This nectar, which emanated from the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami, is easily swallowed and perfect in all respects. It's like an advertisement. Like, you know, it's this special smoothie or something. Come to our festival. We're going to be serving some very special Amrita. Shukha Mukhad means that the Srimad Bhagavatam emanates from the mouth of Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Although a Shukha is a parrot, this does not indicate that Shukadeva Goswami parroted the Bhagavatam. A parrot, devoid of understanding, simply mimics words. Rather, Shukadeva's being called a parrot implies that as the cut of a parrot's beak sweetens a fruit, the Bhagavatam becomes sweeter still when presented with the depth of Shukadeva Goswami's realization. The Srimad Bhagavatam is nectar in an easily digested form, Amrita Dravya Samyutam. Unless one is a liberated soul, he will be unable to assimilate a spiritual rasa, the mellows of relationship with Krishna, especially the mellows experienced during Krishna's rasa dance. Attempting to understand such pastimes from the conditioned platform is like drinking ghee. It is simply too rich for us. Shukadeva Goswami presented Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes in the Bhagavatam, but only in the 10th canto, after systematically presenting all the topics needed to appreciate and digest these pastimes. Thus, the words Dravya Samyutam, emphasizing that Shukadeva did not dilute the contents but presented nectar in an easily digestible form. I didn't know how to say that better than these words, so I'm just putting these words. The literature is so high and we're so low. See you later. No. Now, hear this, because it's presented by Shukadeva in such a way, it's dravya samyutam. It's easily digestible, even for a neophyte. It's for all classes of people, from the lowest to the highest and everyone in between. It's one of the most important verses in the whole of the Bhagavatam that Prabhupada used in his preface to the Bhagavatam. That the message of Srimad Bhagavatam is presented for the people of the age of Kali that are filled with sinful reactions. And its nature is, it eradicates, it uproots, it completely destroys their sinful condition. Their sinful quality is eradicated just by the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. The unqualified becomes qualified. So if you're unqualified, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you're qualified, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you're perfected, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And everything else unmentioned. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Here's the word for word again. Shuka refers to Shukadeva Goswami. Mukhad is from Mukha, the face or the mouth or the lips of Shukadeva Goswami. And it's Amrita Dravya, nectar that's, here's Prabhupada, semi-solid and soft. Sounds like something that you would offer to Krishna, some kind of preparation that's like that. Semi-solid and soft. Ice cream? You ready? Samyutam. Perfect in all respects. Again, it's Shuddha, or Amala Purana. It's Shuddha Sattva. It's completely pure. Completely pure and perfect. And it's not only the Bhagavatam speaks this way, the other Puranas speak about the Bhagavatam in this way. So, what are we waiting for? Meaning, we're doing right now, but our whole lives, whatever, arrange your lives in such a way that you can reach Srimad Bhagavatam. Along with chanting the holy name, reach Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. The Bhagavatam says, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. All the things that are inauspicious are removed just by that act of regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And that which is attracting our hearts, the desire for unlimited happiness, it's accessible. The door is open. Just move. Walk through the door. Keep moving. Keep hearing very carefully. So, I'm going to end there. We're halfway through the third verse of the introductory or invocation verses. And my plan is that we'll finish that tomorrow morning, and then the other verses that lead into the questions by the sages is where we'll finish, and we're done. And this evening there's some passages from Prabhupada's purport of 113 that I'd like to read to our Saturday evening group of people. We won't go into it like we're doing here with all of you, because there'll be lots of new people. But it's nice. It's more than nice. I look forward to coming here to Seattle and sharing things that it requires. It's not just an introductory something, and it's maybe, you know, maybe not just 201, maybe it's 301. Srimad Bhagavatam 301. It's going into things with more depth. And that takes a little more work, takes a little more refinement. So some persons that are maybe a little newer, and this is like, woo, like little stretch to reach it. Sorry about that, but I'm trying to provide a picture, a little bit deeper picture of what these wonderful teachings are, and what great fortune it's been placed in our lap. It's not because we're so something specially qualified individuals. Rather, there's our founder Acharya and the line of disciplic succession preceding him that wished for people all over the world to receive. Perhaps one of the principal visionaries of what we're doing right now is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The very year that Prabhupada was born in 1896, he had the vision to give to the world, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And he didn't just like dream about it. He wrote a booklet. He paid for its printing. He paid for its postage, and he sent it around the world to different universities, the life and precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he saw it was the desire of Lord Chaitanya that it would happen, and so he was being an instrument to help make it happen, and he requested his son the same, and his son requested Prabhupada to do the same, and here we are. Because of those visionary personalities that didn't just ponder something. They deeply received the message and then they acted on the message. It touched their hearts and it moved their lives. And here we are. Wow, we're so fortunate. The ripened fruit of the entire Vedas that we don't have the qualification to even approach, and it's just being handed to us. So fortunate. So we should receive it with a grateful heart and take it inside. Bring Krishna into our heart by this process of hearing. So if it's been a little challenging to hear all these detailed things, my apology. But at the same time, if by hearing it carefully, it helps to move the heart. That's why. It's what Vyasadeva is presenting and our acharyas are giving to disclose what Vyasadeva is presenting. And if we have a clearer picture of Krishna's position as the Absolute Truth, the Bhagavatam's position of disclosing Krishna as the Absolute Truth, the means of receiving that through Paradharma, where there's no other motivation than the one motivation of being in service to Krishna, and receiving all of that from Shukadeva Goswami, and in turn through our acharyas who presented what Shukadeva Goswami has given us. It's a good foundation to go forward step by step in the hearing process. Give us eagerness to go through very carefully to receive this wonderful gift. Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments? Look at this, right up in the front row.
Thank you, Maharaj, for class.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
So, when you said that,
speak right into the microphone so that they can hear you online.
When you hold the book that time,
yeah.
You said that instead of talking it, you open it,
yeah.
And
you
hear it, and
yeah.
You make it go in your heart,
yeah.
And Krishna will manifest. Yeah. I heard that
Paramatma
is always there.
He's already there. Let's go back. Two things. See this one? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, this verse appears, where the statement is, Paramatma is already in the heart. And he's situated there because he's our well-wisher. So that's what you said. Now, what this verse is saying, but, do you have the password to the Krishna channel? You know what I mean? Are you tuned in to Krishna? Krishna is speaking to you from within your heart. What's he saying? I don't know. I don't have the password to the Krishna channel. That's the non-devotee. Krishna's in the heart of the non-devotee. But we're trying to become devotees. What do we do to try to become devotees? The recommendation that's being provided here is we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, that sound enters our ear, goes through the ear canal into the region of the heart, and that sound vibration sits in the lotus of the heart. And then Krishna is manifest through that sound vibration. And we can hear him. If we have heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can hear him. So it's not like there's two Krishnas in our heart. But we're just tuned into the Krishna channel. We can hear him. We got a receiver on. Instead of off. Looking out at Maya thinking, what's fun? And let me do that, because it looks like fun. You know, that's when we're not tuned into the Krishna channel. We're tuned into the Maya channel. You get it. Okay. Something else? How did he? Enthusiastically. Where?
When?
When Shukadev was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, when Shukadev Goswami was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, Vyasadeva was in the audience. Narada was in the audience, the spiritual master of Vyasadeva. And so many other sages. Why? Shukadev's so qualified. Not like they didn't know what the subject matter is, because Narada instructed Vyas to compile it, and Vyas compiled it, and he taught it to his son. Now his son's speaking, and he's listening. Because it's rasa, not just information. Could you speak into the microphone?
Sukadev was on in the assembly of the sages.
Could you speak slowly and clearly? Because I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Sukadev
Goswami.
Sukadev
Goswami. Did I say Sutta? Sukadev spoke. Shukadev spoke and Vyas heard.
His question, Maharaj, is he saying, how did he hear Sutta Goswami?
Who did hear? Oh, Vyasadeva's Trikalagya. He doesn't. No problem for him. You know what that means? No? We're limited. We can know in a small way what's happening right now. Vyasadeva's not limited like that. He can know perfectly what's happening now and the other two directions of time, past and future. So even before it happens, he can know what's happening. Because he's tree. Kala means time. Gya. He knows past, present, and future. He didn't have to be there. Because he knows about it before it happens and whatever happens in the past. Does that help? Anyone else? Another detail is Vyasadeva's compiling of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, there's some of our acharyas have given very, very detailed explanations of when, and it's like some say this and some say that. So whether it was an event that happened, it was yet to happen, or an event that had happened in the past, he has access to that. So exactly detailing when did Vyasadeva write? It's written in the past tense. You know, it's after Shukadeva Goswami spoke it. So it's before Maharaj Parikshit left this world. But then after that comes Sutta speaking. So somewhere in between Shukadeva speaking and Sutta speaking, which happened later, or after that, it happened before. But he has full access. Something else? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.